Well, this morning we're going to head in another direction. We're going into I didn't really have anything of going into something else. I didn't know if the Lord was going to go continue in the areas of dealing with in the areas of tongues or what He was going to do. But this week He began to speak to me. Lots of times with me with teaching, that's what it is. I don't go search for something. God just starts bringing something to me. Lots of times He'll bring certain subjects to me way in advance, and I just don't know when we're going to start to do that, so you have to wait till He says, go ahead and do that. But this week He began to speak to me in this area. There was a certain event that happened and took place, was in the news. I won't talk about that right now, but anyhow, it was a thing that the Lord spoke to me back in 2020, spoke to me about the future, about some things that were going to happen, and there was something in the news that made a thing, and I saw that, and I thought, and right away it just came to me that, this is moving in that direction that He said was going to take place, and it deals with the areas of judgment, is what it deals with. And we're going to talk about that as we go on in dealing with the areas of divine destiny for us to understand. And I want to, in Romans 8 chapter, it says this, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. We need to understand the importance of being led by the Spirit. The church world, we do a lot of things because we see things and we say, then we start to move in that direction. We pray in that direction and we do things because of the things that we see. But the one thing is we need is to be led by the Spirit of God. We need to understand this. Because if you're not, I'm just going to tell you, you'll do spend a lot of time, and I can just say this personally, I've spent time in prayer for things that I found out later on that I was wasting my time praying about. And you need to understand this, as people do, there's a lot of wasted time in prayer. Because people don't ask God about where He's going and the direction He's moving. Sometimes we pick our own direction, This is why we're not led by sight. We're not led by what we see, feel. This is why we need to be very careful about things concerning the time we're in and what's going on. What needs to be prayed about and what doesn't? Randall Greer, last meeting I attended with him, one of the things that he made mention about, he said about the past election where they had the governor of Virginia, and there was offices in New Jersey and in New York and stuff that, headed the devil's way. And he said about that, these things did. He said people came to him and asked him about praying about those things. And he went to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, don't pray about them. He said, they're already set. He said, the wicked people in those areas dominate and rule, and that's what they want, and they're going to have what they want. And you need to understand this. You're not going to change everything. You're not going to do it. We need to understand this. We don't understand lots of times, and what the Lord spoke to me about is divine destiny. There are certain things, and we need to understand that things get set. This is why you need to be led by the Spirit. God is very merciful and withholds things for long periods of time. But we need to understand there's things that are set, and I don't care how much you pray, how much you fast, it will never change. You need to know that. We here in the earth, we need to understand this. There's things set here in America. There's judgments set in America, and you'll never change them. They're coming. And you will never stop it. Eventually it'll come. You can't stop it. Because why? Things were done. God is just and righteous. We need to understand this about God's not like man. We need to understand this is the fact the kingdom of God is founded upon laws and rules just like we have a government here, different nations. They decide how they want to run things. God has established how the spirit realm runs. And it runs that way no matter what we do here. We either oppose it and end up in problems, or we cooperate with it and have God's blessing. And we need to understand this. Here on the earth, if you don't like it, it's because of man. It isn't about God's kingdom. We need to understand this about God. God doesn't change. He never changes. And His rules and His laws and everything stay the same. And if he, and all through the scripture, there's things that, well, you know, one of the first books of the Bible the Lord took to me as a young Christian to read was the book of Jeremiah. And say, that isn't one where God takes a lot of people to read as young Christians. Well, it's one thing as he did is because of the gift of God in me. Because, you know, as the Lord told me, he said, your ministry is for the last days. Because I'll speak a lot of things a lot of people don't want to hear.
Amen.
But you know what? They're going to hear it.
Amen.
And one of the things we have a lot of prophets out here that ain't speaking what God's saying. They're not putting out the warnings that God wants put out about things going on and happening, because judgments are set and they're coming and people are not ready. Let me just say this for you to understand this. Good character and good quality of life comes from going through problems and troubles and learning to walk. See, you find out your character, what you're really like when pressure comes. You need to know this. And this is one thing as I see. The more Americans and even American Christians get squeezed, it don't look good. They're not good. American Christians ain't good at all. You know, we've turned around and we have all this stuff. I've watched this, you know, everybody, you know, the so-called Christian groups, they fall toward what they call conservatives. Well, the more the conservatives get squeezed, the less I like them. The more they get squeezed, I found out, you know, they're only 10 steps behind the Democrat. There's one thing. See, we have things going on. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you what. Everybody says God put this president and we have. Well, you know, if you don't like what's going on in Iran and stuff and a lot like that, go yell at God. He put this man here. You know what? And that man is here to squeeze you some. Mm-hmm. See, people say we want change, but they want change as long as they stay comfortable.
That's right.
You know, people sitting around complaining about gas prices and stuff. Well, who do you want to be beholden to? You know, most Americans, even Christians, still want to be beholden to China because I want cheap stuff. I'd rather have cheap stuff than deal with these things. You know, prices are going up. Well, if that bugs you a whole lot, it's a good sign you ain't got faith about the areas of finances. You got trouble. You can't trust God. You know, we need to be downright. We need to be honest. Where's the church at? See, we're getting squeezed. Are you bawling? Are you flying like an eagle? I find out a lot of the Christians are buzzards. They're circling looking for something dead to eat. It's good preaching. But we need to get ourselves over that we're ready. When we face trouble, we just stand up. That should be the time that we arise when trouble comes. We need to not join the crowd on the things that are going on. You know, just like with the things going on, right? We have numbers of you know, the conservatives. I mean, you know, they want to, you know, you have to have some kind of ID to vote. And can you imagine? Conservatives are fighting it. You know why? Because they want to be voted into office. You know, I'm going to tell you what. You do right whether anybody likes it or not.
Amen.
I don't care if they vote for you. I don't preach what I preach because you want to come here.
Amen.
I don't care.
Preach.
You know? The door you came in, you can go out of.
Amen.
I ain't going to yell at you. You know, it don't matter to me. You know, like I say, don't let it hit you in the butt the way out.
Amen.
But it's not being mean. I'm going to tell you what God speaks to me about that, and I'm going to go with it. Why? Because we're in a time where I'm going to tell you, we need some backbone in this nation.
Preach.
We need a people that stand up. We need this. We need a people stand up, people that are willing to go through something. And hey, I'm going to tell you what, there's things on the horizon. There's things I've seen. And I'm going to tell you what, people ain't going to like it. As number one, is no many people don't want to see it. They don't even want to know it's coming. They just want to complain when it gets here. No, you get prepared so when it comes. Over the years, God prepared me for trouble. I have seen from the time I've been a young Christian, I have seen trouble coming ahead. You prepare for those days. You don't walk in. You don't get ready over the last minute. You know, United States entered two wars. They weren't ready. The First World War, the Second World War, they weren't ready for those wars. They sat around and played games, and Americans were cushy. That's why it took a long time to settle the wars. They wouldn't even had stuff started if America had been right. But they sit around and waited and waited and waited. Why? So, you know, Trump steps in office, and you know what he said? All this now. You know, 50 years of waiting around with these jerks over there, and now we're going to do something about it. People are complaining. They're talking about, we had lost 8 soldiers. My God, drunk drivers, how many have they killed in the same time period?
Preach.
You know why? Because we love pleasure in America, and you can die in pleasure, and it's all right. You can die on drugs. You can die on anything. Feeding your flesh. But stand up for something and somebody dies and the news, 8 people died? Dear Lord, all that took place and only 8 died? We ought to be shouting and running through the church.
Amen.
You know, people yelled about Vietnam. 60,000 people died. Just 2 years, I was in Vietnam for 1 year. I was in 1969, I was in Vietnam. 1968, 1969, drunk drivers in America killed more people than the entire Vietnam War. And where were the Americans? Did anybody demonstrate in the street? No. They didn't. Why? Because America ain't nothing but a pleasure hole. It's a whorehouse.
Amen.
It's all it is. Oh, I got to be satisfied, taken care of, pat me, pet me, give me something. Don't make me responsible.
Preach.
And we need to stand up to some things. We need to step up and stand up and say, hey, hold it. What is going on? What are we complaining about? Mm-hmm. Things that need to be complained on, we don't do a thing about it. Yeah. We're wimps and whiners and, you know, we got to stop this stuff. Amen. In our nation. I'm going to tell you, the church is a place... It's a place of a strong tower. We need to be the people that ain't whipping and whining. Somebody can look to and say, hey, how come you ain't like the rest of us idiots? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to be. I'm not seeker friendly.
Amen.
Because it ain't nothing but the devil in the church to begin with.
Amen.
No man seeks for God unless God draws him.
Amen.
We don't preach messages where God could draw anybody. We need to deal with things. And, you know, these things sound hard. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not afraid and I'm not worried.
Amen.
I'm so glad I can stand up and I can do it with a smile and I don't have to run from people.
Amen.
And I don't have to be afraid of people.
Amen.
And if you want to kill me, well, let's get at it.
Woo!
I just go to heaven. My God, I get to be delivered from the morons.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Is that going to be terrible?
Amen.
What an awful thing happened. Ed went off to heaven to be with Jesus. My God. Clear to God. You know, sometimes I just wake up in the morning and say, let's go, Jesus. I want to come home. Let's get out of this crazy place with all these people worried about all this stuff that don't matter. You know? My words. I'm getting too old to care. My God. You know, I just don't. It's like I've been through life. I've watched things come and go, and I watch it, and I watch what people worry out, and I think, you know, as you get older, you ought to wise up sometime along the line. You know, sometime you ought to get smart and wise up. It's like, my words, all the things we worry and concern about, it don't matter. What's important in life?
Amen.
What is important? So you sit down and ask people what's important, and they'll give you all kind of things on this earth that are important.
Amen.
Ain't none of it. It's all temporal. It's all temporal.
Amen.
It's all
Amen.
Temporal. Their eternal condition is in lousy shape and they don't even see it.
Preach. Preach.
They think because God's good, they're good.
Come on. Come on.
No, God's good.
All the time.
You're questionable. You know? Well, hey, we are. Let's get over it. You know? The only reason I do good is because of Him.
Amen.
I would have never done anything good in my life if it wasn't but for Him.
Amen.
He gets the praise and glory for it all. He does.
Amen.
He changed me. I didn't change me.
That's right.
I tried that, you know. I did that thing, you know, they do every new year. Waste their time. Every new year, you know. We make a resolution, you know. Well, you ought to start a revolution. That's what you
Amen.
Ought to have. Against something and, you know, fight, you know, do something. No, and let's change something. And so we're going to. But I want you to get the fact is we're going to look in this... what divine destiny means. A lot of people put it in divine destiny, and they write books, and they have books, and there's a part of the book is partly right about it, but they misuse it a whole lot. It's about God's plan for your life. Well, God's plan for your life really doesn't matter as much from the standpoint, if you don't develop and grow, you'll never fulfill it. It don't matter what He has for you. It's what you take a hold of from here. And you need to understand, He has set laws and rules of how things operate, whether you hook up with Him or you don't. There's laws and rules, divine laws and rules that govern you. That you'll either be blessed or not because of those divine rules that have been set. And we need to understand these things. The church world has sort of dealt, especially as I find, as I've gotten over from the time of a kid coming up, we've become more like, you know, the kingdom of God is a little bit of a free-for-all. God sort of, you know, this, it could be this, whatever way you want to be, and, you know, and I'm believing this way. Well, I believe that way. And everybody goes, that's really good. I'm only interested, what's God believe? What's He think? Mm-hmm. That's where faith right. You need to understand this. When you read the Bible, the word faith is not talking about what you believe. It's talking about what God said. And if you don't believe that, God don't consider you in faith. The Bible says you're in unbelief. Unbelief is anything outside of what God believes. It's not your beliefs. You might have faith in things, but it's not God's faith. See, I want to have God's faith. Faith that God has comes from His Word. Understand that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the word of man, or what man says about his, that's not what God's talking about, faith. The Bible's talking about faith in God's word, what God has said. So that's what we want to believe, what God has said. That's why I always go back to the word, and because I hear there's many voices, the Bible says, without significant, there are significant voices speaking. But I want to tell you, I always go back to the word because of this over time. You know, there's times that I thought, well, I knew what the word was saying, and I found out it didn't. And you go back, you keep going back because you want your faith, make sure that it's founded on the word of God and not your idea of the word of God or what somebody told you. You need to know yourself. I had a very good teacher, Kenneth E. Hagin, and he taught. He said, you know, you listen to me talk, say things. He said, you go look the Bible for yourself to make sure it says it. You don't take it just because I say it. Many people, their faith is in what somebody else said the Bible said. And not directly. They don't even know if the Bible says it. I run into Christians all the time that have beliefs and they got them from preachers. And it ain't even scriptural. But they think, well, he said. Oh, not like him. Well, good. You might like me, but dear Lord, sometimes I don't like me. So anyhow, you know, get over it. You go find out what the Bible said. That's your responsibility. It ain't my responsibility for your faith. That's yours. Do something about it. You know, look into the Word of God. And we'll do that. Now, number one of the things we're going to talk about today from the Word is dealing with the fact, I want to get there because God doesn't change. I made that mention. I want to read some scriptures to you from Hebrews first, for Hebrews the first chapter. In Hebrews the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 10 through 12 to you. Hebrews the first chapter. It says, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment. In other words, just so we understand, you're living in a temporal earth. The Bible tells you. We're trying to save a planet that's unsavable. The planet is downgrading. Why? Sin. Just like man is downgrading. Sin. I wish Christians would get a revelation on that. And the downgrading is going along quickly. People don't see it and don't understand it. The downgrading of humanity is moving quickly. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be in the church. We're a different people on this earth. See, we need to take up this thing and get a revelation that we're a different people. That we're eternal. We're not on the downgrade. I'm not on the downgrade. Amen. I got life. Amen. And people that don't have Jesus, they're just human beings and they have earthly life. But I have life. And if you're born again, you have life, and it's the life of God. You have eternal life. It doesn't mean live forever. It means you have God life. Everybody lives forever. Anybody in the lake of fire is going to be forever.
Amen.
Why? Because no spirit being ever dies. You're never going to spirit. Your spirit's never going to die. It's always going to be alive. It's going to be one place or the other. Amen. Hallelujah. I know my place. Glory to God. You want to make sure that you know your place. But we have life. And you know what? This world and people are living like death. And they're moving more toward death. Many Christians are moving toward death and don't even know it. They're not moving the life of God they have. They're moving toward death. They don't even know it. And so many Christians don't even see it happen. And among them, they're acting like they're spiritual and they don't even see what around them is moving toward death. They don't even see it. They don't understand it. And so we need to know what we are. But he went on to say, he says, verse 12, like a cloak, you will fold them up. And they will be changed. But you are the same and your years will not fail. See, the natural realm's going to change. But God don't ever change.
Amen.
God stays the same. You know, God's not going to ever change his mind about things of sin and people are into or doing. He's never going to change his mind and say it's all right. God's laws are established. Understand this as we look at these scriptures. Like in Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get a hold of this fact. You have no foundation of faith if God changes. What are you going to believe? If he changes, you can't say, well, his word, he's allowed to change. If he's allowed to change, then you have no guarantee his word's any good. Is he going to keep his word? See, to me, the great security of the unchanging God. I love an unchanging God because I live in a world things are changing all the time. I was born into a world and I saw this as it went along. And when I came and got saved and I started to understand God, that he never changes, I can always guarantee what he said he will do. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how your life was lived. But to me, that was such a security because I never had that. I could never trust me. Now there was someone that I could trust totally that he would never change what he said he would always do. See, you need to get that. If you don't have a revelation of that about with God, man, that's what's incredible to me about him.
Amen.
I can count on him. See, you know, and I always tell the story about my dad. My dad was a guy his word was like the sun coming up in the morning and going down. He's a Christian man. My dad, what he said, he did. He was what the Bible says a spiritual person is. Swears his own hurt and changes not. You know, you give your word, you keep it.
Amen.
You give your word to somebody, you don't just call them up and say, well, I can't do that. If you gave your word, you better keep it. Now, you can ask them, maybe something come up, but you get permission from them to change it. You don't. You don't have the authority to change it without becoming a liar and crooked yourself. Well, now that one's a hard for Christians to fulfill because we don't ever practice that stuff. Your word. See, my dad, like my dad, I said this, you know, thing with my dad. If my dad said to us, you do that again, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to tell you what that, you didn't get second chance. When he said, if you do it again, you got whooped.
Uh-huh.
See, if you say that to somebody, if you do this or you do that, I'm going to do it. And you don't, you a liar.
Preach.
You keep your word. See, and there's another thing. Then you'll watch your word, too.
Amen.
Now watch Christians do this all the time. Yell to kids and say something. They're going to do something. They never do it. They just yell and make threats. That's like the devil. That's what he does to me. He makes threats, and I learn to laugh at him. I learn to laugh at Christians and their threats. Mm. They don't keep a word. They threaten to do what's right. It's just a threat. It's just a threat. I just laugh. It's a threat. You're taking it up, I'm going to do the right thing. And oh my God, that was a good one. But see, there's one thing, the fact of it is, like my parents really people of keeping their word. They were, and I'm really glad of that. I was raised in a home where my parents, their word was good.
Amen.
Their word was good. But there was a security we had. See, if your word's not good, you have no security.
Preach.
See, children grow in homes where there's no security. It's all mouth running.
Amen.
Nothing ever done. They don't ever. So what happens? They grow, and they grow up in an insecure world. And you know what? When they come to Christianity, if they do, they have a hard time because they think everything runs like that. Nobody keeps. See, God's this nice guy, and he'll just do that, and you don't have to keep your word. He doesn't. You know, you don't know. I was running like Christianity when I came in, got born again. All these people, God can do whatever he wants. No, he can't. God has to follow his word, or he's no good. Mm-hmm. He's not like the devil. If he don't follow his word, he's a liar. So him and the devil are just like each other. Now think about that. God's not like that. He doesn't do whatever he wants. God, the Bible says he's slow to anger, and those things. He's slow, and he is. He's slow to anger. But I'm going to tell you what, you can make him angry. Says he's slow, but don't say he don't ever get angry. I had Christians turn around and say, and they walk by, I don't ever get angry. Well, I'm going to tell you, you and the devil are in good company. Because there are things that rise up that they go long enough, it better make you angry. Because I'll tell you what, you'll never be a faith person if you can't get fed up and stuff. I tell you what, there's things I'll say, God, this stuff ain't going no further. This ends here. Mm-hmm. If you ever don't arrive there and go to that place, you're weak in faith. Can this man preach? See, people don't get fed up. We got this wishy-washy Christianity, and it's a mixture of dirty water in some clean water. And this is what we got, this mixture, and it stands up. There's things that we need to stand up concerning our faith. There's things that we need to come up to that we're not going to tolerate. James wrote a wonderful thing about God in James, the first chapter. In verse 16, James said this, "Do not be deceived." In other words, don't get deceived about this. "My brethren, every gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God don't have evil to give. What did that start off with? What did it say? Don't be deceived. The majority of the church world is deceived. They think evil comes from God. He said there's no variation or even a shadow of turning. If God's doing evil, what do we need the devil for? If God does bad things, what's the devil about? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about a guy in the church whose sexual immorality, said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. I don't know, I guess Christians can't read. They're always trying to go, God will do something. God, no, he don't. Why they turn him over to the devil if God does it? He don't. See, Christians need to know that when evil comes, it's because the door is open to evil.
Amen.
And evil ain't my father. It ain't Jehovah. My dad has nothing but good to offer. And I've had bad come already, and I found out my door was open. And it wasn't open to God. Bad came because it was opened to something else. Now you can live in this life and the devil will come. Now he'll come to your door and knock on it, but I'm going to tell you, don't invite him in.
Amen.
If you invite him and think it's God, I'll tell you what, you'll invite the evil in.
Amen.
Yeah, God's doing this to me to a purpose. He has a purpose in what he's doing to me. God made me sick for a purpose. No, the devil did because you're stupid.
People
that they hear these things, they think, "Well, you're being mean." No, we need to find what battle are we fighting? Mm-hmm. There's number one. If God did it, who am I in opposition asking for healing? If God wants me sick, I ought to be excited. Mm-hmm. And then these lying buggers turn around and go to the doctor to try to get the will of God off of them. I'm on down here. God made me sick, and I'm going to get rid of this thing. God made me sick. Say, no, you ought to say, good, if it kills me, this is wonderful. Ah, hallelujah, thank God. But see, you can't walk in faith with a mixture.
That's
right.
How do you trust the person who's against you? I'm going to tell you, if God's against you, you ain't got no hope. The Bible says, if God be for me, who could be against me? The church preaches God gets against you. Well, if God's against you, who do you go to for help? There is no help. See, when people don't know the laws of the kingdom and how they operate, we get weird doctrines. Now, all this weird stuff gets into church. It comes in, people accept it, and then they preach it, and it becomes people's faith. But it's not faith in God. It's man's faith. It's what man believes. See, we got to watch this stuff. God's good, devil's bad. To me, it's that simple. God's good, the devil's bad.
Amen.
Now, you live in an earth, the devil's here in this place. He's here in this earth. Kenneth Hagin said, he said, demons are more faithful to go to church than the Christians are.
Preach.
We live in an earth. There's devils. You know, I'll never forget when I heard Kenneth Hagin first say this, dealing, because the Lord used him a lot in dealing with demons and stuff. But he said this, because of seeing in the realm of the Spirit. He said, if most Christians, he said, they would see into the spirit realm and see all the demons that are around them. He said, and he wasn't a man to just throw words out. And when he said this, it really stunned me because he said they would literally die of fright. Now, one of the reasons he said that for is because the average Christian has no spirituality. To them, the spirit world, there's one thing to me, the spirit world is real.
Amen.
It's, to me, it is more real than this realm. My knowledge comes from that one.
Amen.
It comes from the realm of the unseen. My knowledge does not come from this realm. Comes from the realm, the unseen realm. The unseen realm is the eternal realm. This is not. What we see here is all temporal. It was all created and made from that realm. This realm made nothing. It just took stuff in this realm and put it together and do things. But it's not the creator. All of this is going to vanish and go away. Everything. See, what is real to you? What is eternal? See, we've got to live like something's eternal. This realm out here, demons, angels and stuff. There's loads of angels around and stuff. People are not aware of it and don't know. It was like a guy said one time, he said, concerning the South Mountain down here, he said he had a vision and he saw the South Mountain down here and he said it was just filled with angels. And he said, the Lord, he said, what are all these angels doing down there? What are they doing? He said, nothing. He said, the church ain't don't have them do a thing. We don't live in a consciousness of the realm we live in. We don't have a consciousness of it. You have to. There's laws and things that govern this realm. The things we want God to manifest on this side, but we're trying to do it with faith on this side, a faith about the things here. It's a mixture of things. We don't have this confidence. God will respond to me. God will respond to me if I ask. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. See, there's laws and rules that govern all this stuff, and we need to get ourselves over. You know, back, we were, you know, they used to say when the Christians become so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, that ain't around today. Today, people are so earthly minded, they ain't no heavenly good. They're all conscious of the, but see, there's a consciousness that you have to manifest that realm into this realm. You have to have a consciousness of God's more willing to do that than you're willing to ask Him to do it. I'll just tell you that. God is more willing to heal you than you are to be healed. God's more willing to bless your life in any areas, whatever it is. He's more willing. I learned that as a young Christian. God is just downright willing. He sent Jesus. He didn't hold anything back. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and we're acting like we're trying to get God to give them to them. They're already ours, but we're treating it like it's not ours. Like He's holding back. Well, God's holding back for a reason. Yeah, because you ain't got no brains in your head. You can't read the Bible. The Bible tells you how good He is, and then you sit around talking about, He's the one taken from me. No, the thief, who is the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you have more in death, and I'm in partnership with the devil. No, He said, I came to have life. You have life and have it more abundantly. God's a life giver. He's not death giver. And see, to living in that, changing how we think, those things change, by the spiritual laws. Which kingdom are we hooked with? What are we hooked with? What's our kingdom?
Amen.
The average Christian knows more about bad things than good things. Well, number one, if you watch just the news, you'll become an expert in the bad. Because that's all they report. If there's something good, it might make a little article down here somewhere, but we got 400 other articles to overshadow that one. Well, and let's not blame them. They do it because we buy it. Because we put up with them. We even put up with the so-called conservative news. What is just as demonic, it only reports bad, 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 just fills with bad, bad. Somebody said this, and they said, oh, and this guy said this back to him, and this is that. Oh, wow, glory to God, that's good. That's a good way to live. My God, I tried that one. It don't work well. Responding back, somebody said something bad about you. Yeah, so did I. I said something bad about me. You know, sometimes I have to do that. Ed, you're a jerk. Ed, you're a jerk. Okay, wake up, boy. But see, we're always trying to defend ourselves. I'll tell you what, I'm defended by God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got the best lawyer in town. Amen. There ain't a better one. Hallelujah. And he stands up for me.
Amen.
Doesn't matter if man does or what man does. Those things don't matter. See, we got to lose this fearfulness of things and all these things going on. God doesn't change, and Ed is so glad. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he don't change. Malachi wrote in Malachi 3:6, he said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." You're telling me you guys didn't get consumed because I don't change. He didn't say I didn't get consumed because you don't change. He said, I change. God follows principles of things. And this is one of the things we want to look at today is about this, especially. You need this foundation of faith. Now, God has spoken about things, and we're running into the end times. I wasn't originally going to even go over into this, but the Lord told me to go to it. And it's from Kenneth Hagin's prophecy in 1950. Because there's some things that the Lord began to speak me about because this certain event took place. And when it did, the Lord spoke to me when I saw it. Then the Lord spoke to me and said to me and reminded me of what he told me back in 2020. And I'm like, oh, wow. And then he began to speak to me. This prophecy has really guided me since before 9/11. When 9/11 took place, America stepped into a time period and most of the church world and most prophets didn't even know it, which they should have. We stepped into a time period, things changed. Things changed. Things changed for America. America's never been the same. And I'm going to tell you what, it ain't ever going back to what it was. Never. No. It'll never return to what it was. Never will. And as we're going to talk about these things, some of these things I talked about before, we're going to talk to them about them again. But I'm going to read concerning this vision. This vision starts off with the fact he said, Kenneth Hagin, I'm just going to, he had had some other things before he had said in this and then, but this part he says, he was at a meeting ministering. He said, I'm going to read through it. There's parts of it that are in your bulletin, but this part here isn't. He says, but at that time, he said, the Holy Spirit came upon me again and he said, I fell flat on my face on the platform. He says, as I laid under the power, I saw a horseman riding at full speed toward me. He held a scroll of paper high in his left hand. He said, I was not conscious of my earthly surroundings, but seemingly, he said, was in space somewhere. He said, when the horseman came to me, he stopped, passed the scroll from his left hand to his right hand, and he handed it to me and said, take and read. He said, open the scroll or unroll it. He said, saw at the top of this page in big bold black letters, these words, war and destruction. He said, I was struck dumb and unable to speak. He said, he laid his hand on my head and said, read in the name of Jesus Christ. And he said, I began to read what was followed on the paper. He said, then I looked and at the words instructed and I saw what I had read about. He said, I saw thousands and thousands of men in uniform marching to war. I saw many women, old, white-haired, middle-aged, and even young women with babies in their arms, bowed together in sorrow and weeping profusely. I saw the skylines of large cities, and when I looked again, he said the skyscrapers were burnt out hulks and halls, and he said the city in ruins. There was written that not just one city would be thus destroyed, but many. He said, so he said, went on, he said, continued to read the scroll. He said, it was written in the first person, and it was just like Jesus himself speaking. He said, America's receiving her last call. Some nations have already received their last call and will never receive another. The time of the end of all things is at hand. Was repeated at least four or five times. He said also that this was the last great revival. I want to stop there at this. Number one, Kenneth Hagin made these statements. He said he saw then in later years after this prophecy that some of that prophecy, parts of it were fulfilled concerning, he said, because the riots and things in the 60s and stuff took place and burnings of cities. He said he saw that that was, but he said that wasn't the end of it. That's not the end of it. He said he, but he saw some of those things would take place. Well, we've seen it even in times past. We see these things going on. We're in the time of the end. Now, he made this fact that he said the time of the end of all things is at hand. They said that was said four or five times. The church has never awakened to these facts. Now, I want you to understand some things about this. As the Lord has spoke to me over the years, things I have seen in the past, and people just bypass this concerning these things of what is said. Because he made this statement. He said that was repeated a number of times. But he said that America is receiving its last call. I just want to say this to you. America's last call has ended. It's ended. This was 1950, September 1950 when this was given. Now I want you to get a hold of this because there's things I've seen over time I didn't understand. It isn't until these last years that I understand what some of these things we're talking about. Because of things that Kenneth Hagin had said here, I often wondered about it, and people just sort of seem to bypass it when they read it. And understand this, in 1950, was the healing revival was going in America. It started in 1948. 1948, the healing revival started. Massive revival here in America. Massive revival broke out in 1950. I remember as a kid, I was just a little tight. In Oral Roberts' tent. My dad, mom and dad went there, and I was standing on one of their wooden folding chairs, you know, as a little kid watching Oral Roberts minister. I mean, it was a, you know, he had a tent seated 20,000 people. You know, you could do some camping in that thing, man. I'll tell you, could. That was a tent. That was big. He had a big tent. He had another tent, big tent, was sit out the side of there where they did minister to people. Those things going on. But, you know, those events and things were happening. That revival was amazing. But I want you to just read in some words, because understand with Kenneth, he's speaking to Kenneth Hagin. He said, America, he said, it's written for, he said, America is receiving her last call. Some nations have already received their last call and will never receive another. The time of the all things at hand. And he makes his statement at the end of, he said also that this was the last great revival. Wonder if Kenneth Hagin lied or that's true. I'm just going to tell you. That's going to be that was the last great revival from American standpoint that was over the whole nation. You see, let me just tell you about, I've had a number of visions and things and stuff the Lord told me. Some real encounters with the Lord concerning this. You see, I talk about this. I had a vision. One of the visions I saw was like I was above America and I was looking down at the nation and it was like a map. And I was way up high, but I watched darkness move across certain areas and that stuff, and other areas were light. And the Lord said this to me, and we're already living in the time of it. I mean, it's here. He said, in the last days, America's going to have places of great darkness and great light. He said people will move from areas of darkness to go to the areas of light, and there's people who will move from the areas of light to go to the areas of darkness. See, we're having that today. We have, you go out, the leading democratic nations, people, states, people are moving out of. They're moving out to go to places where there's light. See, these go. I watched this stuff going on. I thought, man, this is the fulfillment. Revivals. We have, you know, in the past, God in His mercy reaches out to areas of darkness for a time. You need to understand it's for a time. There's places in America God will not visit again. You need to understand this. Well, we'll go look at scriptures. I'll show you as we go on in this teaching and today. God does it. God, for a time, when God brings light and men reject it, you won't keep rejecting it and He'll come back and visit you. He'll do that personally with people. No one comes to the Son except the Father draws them. You can't come to God unless God's drawing. You don't. I don't care. You can go preach to people God's not drawing. You can preach till you fall over. It ain't going to work. As many as are led by the Spirit. See, we're today, we're not led by the... We're trying to reach people, and instead the people that can be reached never get reached because the church is chasing the people that can't be reached. That's why you ask God, well, who are we going? Who are we going to? See, Paul had to pick... Paul said, hey, I'm going to go up here to this place, and God said, don't go there, go over here. See, Paul, they have a need. God said, yeah, but I'm calling them. You get over there, the ones that are being drawn. Now, we don't do that today. I sat in ministers' groups and they said, if you see a need, you meet it. In other words, forget the Holy Spirit, forget God. We're need meeters. That's what we do. That's our ministry. It's not my ministry. You got a need. I want to hear from heaven.
Amen.
You know, you might be in a position you need to be in till you finally repent. Amen. You know, you can live evil like the devil and the church will take care of you to where the point you don't even think about God anymore. You don't even need God because you'll get taken care of and still live evil.
Preach.
Amen.
Preach.
Woo! We're doing so good. You know, in the Bible, you know who they took care of the poor? It was Christians taking care of the poor Christians. They weren't taking care of the world. Paul raised money for the Christians down in Jerusalem. Not all the people in Jerusalem that were starving out. It was for the Christians. The Bible says so. They were doing it for their brethren. It weren't for all the Jews. It was their Christian brethren. You know, the world ain't my brother. The church is my brother. A man who don't take care of his own household... What does the Bible say? He's worse than an infidel. You know what an infidel is? An unbeliever. The church is worse than an unbeliever. Running around, putting the world first. See, I know this stuff shakes people up because, you know, you're sitting around reading it. Because why? We have our doctrines. They ain't Bible, but they're our doctrines. We like them. We feel good. I'm helping people. Are you? I want to know if you're helping people. See, ask yourself, am I really helping people? I had to stop and ask, well, are we really helping? Am I really helping? Am I really doing good? Or I'm doing what makes me feel good? I'll guarantee you, most people do what makes them feel good. Is God feeling good about it? Well, we haven't discussed that with Him. He might not be so tickled about me. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean we don't ever do something for a sinner. It doesn't mean that. But I'm going to tell you, the church comes first.
Amen.
I've talked to Christians that had all kinds of problems and that stuff and needed help. And their church wouldn't help them. But that same church is out here feeding a bunch of people that are heathens and doing all kinds of stuff. And won't help them. And they called me and I said, well, why do you go to that devil church? You come over here now. You're asking me for help while you go to the devil church and put your money there. He didn't like it. I called his church a devil church because that's what he's doing. It's just following after the devil, chasing after the... Don't help the saint. But helping the world. It's like with me. I tell him, say, you know, you run this way, I'll run towards you. But you keep running toward that stupid place, it ain't chasing you.
Preach.
You get to live there. You live with that moron who's ever running the show. That's your daddy. Have at it.
Preach.
That's good preaching, folks. Well, anyhow. Now, when he talked about America having its last call, we need to understand this. That doesn't mean there's not going, there'll be a move of God here in this nation. Where there's places of light, God will move. I'll tell you what, I believe the 1950s healing revival was the last great revival. That brought in, because that revival was really, we look at just the healing revival, but it went into the charismatic renewal, that whole thing. That was a long-lasting move of God. That was powerful in this nation, what it did. And you know what? The majority of the people that went through it don't live like Christians today. That even got saved in it. And if they are a Christian, they go to church, they're nominal. They left the glory of that day. I never left the glory of that day. You know why? I never changed about going to the Word of God. And I still walk in the same Word I was received back then. Amen. And I walk in that same Word today. I haven't changed with the crowd. Amen. And so I've stayed full of fire.
Amen.
I got fire in my belly.
Amen.
And the reason I have my belly, because my spirit's here. And it's still hot.
Amen.
It still loves the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
It loves the Word of God more than man. It loves more of God than anything else that goes on here. Because that's become my life. I never had a life till I had it. Till I got born again and the Word of God in me, it revolutionized my life. It just, I just became a totally different person.
Amen.
I don't know what any, people turn around, well, God's doing a different thing. How come you're getting more carnal? It couldn't be God.
Amen.
People getting less on fire, it ain't God.
That's right.
People becoming more casual Christians ain't God.
Preach.
Becoming more like the world so they will accept us. I don't want to be accepted by the world. Amen. They must join me.
Amen.
Amen. Preach.
God didn't accept Ed unless he joined the club. It didn't go any other way. We're just open arms. God has open arms. But man, he has laws and rules about getting in them arms.
Amen.
You know, God has open arms, but the gate's small.
Preach.
It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow belief. It's not a wide accepting of it. People say, God will accept you the way you are. That's one of the biggest lies ever been said in the church. God didn't accept me the way I was. I had to change.
Amen.
And I could only meet those change by getting born again.
Preach.
I couldn't meet it any other way.
Amen.
If I didn't get born again, I didn't come in the qualification and enter the gate.
Amen.
It's a narrow way. You either take Jesus or you out.
Amen.
You know, I read a thing back here, you know, about maybe 10 years ago. And they had on there, considering they did a survey among, at that time, black churches. They probably, if they did it in other ways, they would. The 40% of them, they said, believed that you'd get to heaven another way. And these were ones that said they were born again. Well, you go over into different ones, whether it's Caucasian or Spanish, or they all have this. People got it in them, among them. I can take you to spirit-filled churches. I could take you to Rhema churches that have worse beliefs than that today. They didn't start there. But you know what? They got over into what we're going to read here that Kenneth Hagin said was going to happen at the end times. Now, he went on in this thing and he said, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the last days and the church will do greater things than even the early church did and have greater power. You know, see, that's what happened. The healing revivals that Kenneth Hagin was in, people try to attack this. We had this revival, then we had that revival. No, these are different things within a revival. This revival started out, God showed healing, and then he filled the church with the Holy Ghost. And then, you know, he went on with the teaching ministries and things. That was all part of the same revival. That was the same move of God. It's the greatest revival ever took place. It lasted a long time. Other revivals during time periods didn't last as long as this one did. This went on for decades of this move of God But then it started to wane. People started getting over and getting flaky into things. This move of God was doing. The gifts of the Spirit. See, up until that time, the gifts of the Spirit were just among a small, very small group of people. During this revival, this move of God, gifts of the Spirit become prominent. You go on television, and they'd talk in tongues back in the 60s. They would do all these different things, and in the 60s and into the 70s, they would do things. They would, this move of God. Why? And the gifts of the Spirit, man, they'd pray for people. They'd do stuff. They'd do all these different things. Manifestation of the Spirit, all kind of things going on. All kind of stuff was happening in this move of God. Well, he goes on and he said, and they'll have greater power. He said, signs and wonders, that have more signs and wonders than were written in the Acts of the Apostles. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Signs and wonders were just as common as the day went on during those time periods. When I came in the kingdom in 1980, they were just commonplace everywhere. They were so common. I mean, they were not just in ministers. They were just ordinary Christians, manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We, you know, in our full gospel businessmen. I mean, these guys got more things, people filled with the Holy Ghost, gifts of healing, manifestations of the Spirit operate through guys. These are ordinary guys. They didn't stand no ministry office. These are just businessmen. These guys are just, you know, out here, you know, own a business, working there or something. God's moving through these people. See, we had all those things were going on. Those things were happening. That was God. That was the move of God. This was God's working, those things going on. It said, he said, we have seen and experienced many healings. Now, at that time, they had up to that. This is 1950. But he said, but would now behold amazing miracles such as not been seen before. More and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead for... Now, what did he say? They're just ahead. Well, see, they did. During the healing revivals, all of a sudden the miraculous started. It went up and, man, there was common. A lot of miracles and stuff took place when I come into the kingdom. Things and stuff that were happening among people. We are still living in that time of the church. The reason we don't see them is because of the faithlessness of the church. We're trying to pray God to give the signs and wonders and miracles, and he said they're here. He said they're here. We say, no, they're not. We got to pray and pray till we get them. See, people, whatever you believe, that's what you got.
Amen.
How you believe it, if you believe you're waiting for heaven to dump something on your head, you probably have a better chance of a meteor striking your head than you did. You know, it's like Brother Hagin, I tell you for you, he said, Christians are praying for the power of God and they say they're full of the Holy Ghost. He said, how can you get more power than the Holy Ghost? What we need today is power. No, we need a brain to be able to read the Word of God and believe what it says.
Amen.
That's what we need. Religion's always chasing after what it has and don't know it.
Amen.
They're chasing after something, but they got it. Anyhow, he said, so it's a time of the gift of working miracles. He said, listen what he says this. And we're living in this day. Many of my people will not accept the moving of my Spirit and will turn back and not be ready to meet me at my coming. You see, God, this is a rule of the kingdom. What you were given and know, you're responsible to walk in.
Amen.
You need to understand, there are many people that I've known through the time that when I came into the kingdom walk, have seen these and been parts of this move of God. And today, they walk very shallow as Christians. They think they're really nice and good, but they're very shallow spiritually. They're not walking in the light that was given them. They lived during this time period. Some of them lived through time period before I came into the kingdom. They saw for years and years and years on end. They saw the move of God and were in it. And today are walking like, well, you know, this is the way things are today. No, the way things are today is because we've accepted the way things are today.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's not. He said, these ones are not going to be ready to meet me in my coming. I mean, he said, many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. We're already having that today. See, people don't think, people don't understand they're deceived by the devil. We got people out here, I'm going to tell you what. There's one thing as I learned just through the election cycles. There's more false prophets than real ones. I like Randall Greer has this saying, and I believe it's true. He says this. He said, if you accept the false, you'll never get the real. There's one thing about it. If you can prophesy false things and it proves out to be false and people just keep going along with you and you just keep doing it, you're both, they're all deceived, whether they like to hear it or not. What happens? You'll very seldom see the person who false prophesies often ends up quitting doing it. They'll just do it and do it as long as they can get away with it. People say, yeah, but they preach the word. I don't care. I don't care. There's demonic stuff has entered in and it's going to taint things. And people need to put the brakes on it. If you miss it, you say so.
Amen.
If I miss it, I say so. I've missed it in life. And I ain't ashamed to say so. Because number one, I want to repent because I want the real.
Amen.
I know about the prophetic and I've learned this over the time. There's a lot that ain't prophetic, it's pathetic. And we need to understand this. We need to be cautious. I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't speak about this stuff unless the Lord told me directly to speak about it. I don't care what I know. But I'm going to tell you, we need voices where heaven's speaking. I'm tired. I've heard as many men as I want to hear.
Amen.
There's many voices and they're all without significance. But I'm going to tell you what. There's too many voices today. There's too much said. There's too much going on. Too much. I'm saying stop. The people, and understand, and we're not knocking just the ministers. The reason they do that is that's what the people want.
Amen.
The people draw it. The people want to give us a word for the time. I do. Here's a whole bunch of words for the time.
Amen.
Until you know these, it don't matter a whole lot what you're told.
Amen.
Lots of words for the time. I'll tell you, that's where God speaks to me. That's where I run into Him every once in a while in that book, you know. Every once in a while we knock heads in there. Hey, there He is! My God! See, I want to hear from the Lord. I'm not talking about a prophecy. I want to hear from Him.
Amen.
He wrote me a book. And I mean, it's to me. It's my book. I see, it's yours, your book.
Amen.
See, these are the things that matter. It's learning from this book. But see, people deception. See, I've watched this. I've watched all the artificial come along. I have watched it. I've told the stories. I mean, I've set many meetings, watched demonic powers operate, and they cheered it like it was God. Later it was proved it was the devil, and we didn't have one repent from one minister, big names, not one, that was wrong, what they went along with. Never told the people. So the people just keep going on. The people just, that ain't the only, I've said nothing. I've seen this stuff happen. I've watched it happen. And nobody repents. And what happens? The people get taken. Went through, you know, the gold flake and the jewels and stuff manifested. You know, you look in the Bible. Jesus' ministry. The manifestation, I don't see the working of miracles. Did you ever see, you know, gold flake and jewels and stuff? God, the gifts of the Spirit are to bless people, not show off.
Amen.
God didn't open the Red Sea to show off. The Red Sea was opened to deliver Israel. Jesus Christ came. If anybody wanted to be a show off, what he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. His major ministry was to heal, to bless humanity, not show off with gold flake and some jewels showing up. And it turns out it's all fake anyhow. They turned around, they took his stuff and they checked it and it ain't, you know, it wasn't at all. You know, the devil can manifest. See, people following satanic things. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin. I'd watch people go off and drink. They had this thing. I'll never forget the first time I read it here, just a, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. It might be that long now. This Bible that oil was pouring out of. Oil was pouring out of a Bible. And I saw that. Now I want you to think about that. They got around and they said this oil pouring out of this Bible. They were literally doing this. They were taking, people were coming, they're getting bottles of that oil. Because this is special oil that God sent to heal people. I'm sorry, Jesus already healed everybody.
Amen. There it is.
Ain't nobody ever got healed by oil.
That's right.
Well, they said, well, you anoint with oil. You want to say it? The prayer of faith heals the sick. Don't say the oil does.
That's right.
But then people can't read. I'm going to tell you what. We have sent more ministers to seminaries and they are dumb as a stick. They can't even read the Bible and they want to teach you theology. The prayer of faith heals the sick. I mean, God puts oil on your head because you probably have dry scalp. I don't know. You know why God does things in the natural to get people? Because they need something natural to hook on to because they can't do it themselves spiritually.
Amen.
Oh, this is good preaching, folks.
Amen.
We need to get around this stuff and understand where these things, this stuff comes from. But we got a lot of flake. But I watched this thing. Well, it turned around. They took that oil. So they were doing all this thing and oil. They had it in this big glass container, you know, a big thing. And this thing, oil would run out. Well, it turned around and they found out that it wasn't something demonic. A guy was doing it. And they found out that he was making this thing happen and how he did it. And he did this stuff. But anyhow, the whole thing of it is, if it looks supernatural, people run after it. I mean, when I first read about the thing, I thought, oh my God, here we go, another one of these stupid things. People running off after something, and they did. Hey, major ministers ran off. This is something. I'll tell you what, this is. And people listen to these people. They can't tell what's God or not. I mean, if you can't look in the natural and see that, you know, God don't do that. God's doing this. You know, you need to understand that. God's not something complicated. I can look in the Bible and tell the types of things He does. You have to be able to judge. What is it? You know, it's like Brother Hagin said. He said, concerning gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit brought this to me sitting in a meeting where demonic powers were going on. And these, it came to me. It was like a tape I had of Kenneth Hagin and him saying it. It was like for word. It just came out. He made a statement. He said, signs and wonders, and he talked about the fact, is this blessing people or is it just drawing attention to the person? I thought, what's going on here? It ain't even blessing. Ain't nobody's getting healed, delivered, or set free. It's drawing to that person. Trying to make them look good. You know, shaking their hair and gold flakes coming out of it. No, that was the sawdust that was in her brain. You know, in between her ears. That's what that was. That was the sawdust coming out. Oh, they're doing this. You know, people doing this kind of. See, people get over. People, that's what I say. People want the spectacular. And they don't even know this. This book is supernatural.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you. The words in this book healed me when nobody ever saw it but me.
Amen.
But I got it would deliver me and heal me. I don't care about a show. I'd care about results.
Amen.
More Christians who can't get a darn thing working in their life, can't get healed, can't get anything. They love to watch shows that are spectacular. They love to watch spectacular so-called ministry. And they can't even, my words, if you can't get the basics, you can watch what you think spectacular all the time. I don't want spectacular. I want real. Amen. I want real spirituality. I want real deliverance. Amen. I don't want a show. If I want a show, the world does better at shows than the church does. I'd go to Las Vegas if I wanted a show.
Amen.
I wouldn't go to a church. I mean, that's stupid.
Amen.
We ain't going to a show. Hallelujah. No, God has already blessed you. We're supposed to live in a place where we're blessed. Now, we're trying to get a church is trying to get a show going on. I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you, a healing revival, the people will come and chase it. Why? there's a lot more sick than there is in it. I mean, everybody's brother. I mean, I'll guarantee you have a healing revival and 90% of Christians will run to it. Well, they don't know nothing about getting healed. They'll run it down. I ain't got a clue. That's good preaching, folks.
Amen.
Yeah, the sinners can't get in because the Christians have filled the place up because they can't run into God. I remember when Benny Hinn was, you know, up here years ago, was up here at the Giant Center. And I'll tell you what, I mean, it's just filled with Christians and even people I knew, spirit-filled. They're all trying to get healed. Benny Hinn. But see, you can believe God and have it. You don't have to wait till Benny Hinn. I don't ever have to wait till somebody to come to town.
Amen.
I don't have to. I can get it. I you know, we don't have to wait till somebody come to town.
Amen.
But see, people aren't taught. They aren't trained in spirituality. You know, they're like, you know, dogs chasing after something and they don't, you know, you throw, just throw the ball and they'll run and chase it and they'll just, you know, and bark and carry on and, we're having a good time. And isn't one that you don't go home the same and snow, you're going home just like you were. When you're done, you get done tomorrow, you'll probably be in worse shape. The devil will probably just be worse on you, you know. It's like, see, we have an absolutely wonderful God. We lived up to. Here's what Jesus said to do. He said, but follow, first he said, follow the word of God and the spirit of God. First the word, then the spirit. Then he says, and follow me. Why? Say the spirit first. You'll never know Jesus without the Holy Spirit. You won't know him. He's the revealer of Christ. See, the word itself without the spirit, you'll be a legalist. You'll just be a legalist. That's all you'll be. The spirit is what gives life to the word. The spirit will turn you on to Jesus. Hallelujah. His goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his wisdom, his understanding. You'll gain his insight. It's more that, you know, we look at wisdom and the wisdom of men. It's far beyond that. The wisdom of God is the light and life of God. It's not information. Most people walk around with information and that's their wisdom. That's not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This wisdom is the light and the life of God. It is phenomenal. It's how God operates and how God works. And he's invited you to come and work, to be a worker together with him. You can work and operate in this thing. You don't have to ask him to do it. He gives you the wisdom to do it yourself.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's wonderful. Hallelujah. But if I follow me, and he said, what? If you do that, he said, you won't be deceived. I am gathering my own together and preparing them. Who's he preparing? His own. Well, it seems that some of those might have been his own at some time, but who is his own? See, we need to turn around and see the church world. We need to become a voice in the church world.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin, his ministry was called. Now, people, he ministered and stuff, but the Lord told him. His ministry was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. We're trying to get the world ready, and the church ain't even ready at all.
Amen.
The church is not ready. We're trying to get... Now, this doesn't mean everybody in America. Thank God there's Christians that are hungry and thirsting and
Amen.
After God. But I'm going to tell you what. They are a definite minority.
For sure.
Amen.
They say things like, I've heard them say in America that like 30 or 40% of Americans are Christian. And when I got off the floor after 2 days of laughing, I just couldn't get off the floor. I just said, my God. I said, I just roared and roared and roared. I said, this is absolutely incredible. Say, whoever wrote this, we know he's the devil's child.
Mm-hmm.
Claimed to be a Christian, and they did a survey. Yes, he did. He did a survey. And he was demonic, and he went around all the demonic and thought it was all God. You know, it just, he didn't know no difference. But 20%, I mean, get real. If America had 40% Christians, our nation wouldn't be at all where it's at.
Amen.
Now, I can tell you this. We have probably a higher percentage claim to be Christians. Mm-hmm. And hell is filled with people that claim to be.
Amen.
Hell's filled with it.
Preach.
Claiming to be and being are two different things.
Amen.
A little confession one time is don't do nothing without a change. My confession changed my life. If the confession person had didn't change his life, he ain't got what I got.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
He's gathering my own together and preparing them, for the time is short. There were several exhortations to watchfulness, to awake and pray, and not be deceived. Why? America right now, we're living in a time of the greatest deception our nation has ever lived in. Consider over the whole thing. We've had times, periods in our nation as it grew, there was deceptions and things, the devil did things. But if you take the size of our nation, the amount of people today over this nation, man, deception is huge. It is enormous. It is enormous. The fact, when you think 50% of the people in our land wanted Biden, over 50% wanted Biden. They knew he was an idiot going in. But their hatred for Trump, why was Trump? I ain't talking about Trump being some godly man. He's not. But he's the guy God picked. And if there's anything you don't like about it, you better get over it and talk to God. It may be hindering other areas of your life that you can't get things straight because of it.
Amen.
You can't oppose God in areas where he's trying to do something. And it's your time trying to have a bunch of good stuff. This is why a lot of Christians are in a lot of trouble. Their so-called love and their so-called caring is neither love nor caring. I'm going to tell you what. Loads of these Christians, they ain't going to crawl over the wall into heaven. They think they are. They ain't. God has boundaries. And he set them, and you ain't getting past him. No illegals will get in.
Amen. That's right.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Laws and rules. You break the laws and rules of a place, just like here. You know what? God established government. God said we were supposed to obey our rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have loads and loads of Christians that are just living unlawful ways. No, everybody. We ought to have an open, anybody can come and everybody. I'm sorry. God never gave that they could, everybody could.
Preach.
God gave the government the right to set up their, and they don't. It isn't they're just breaking the rules of our country. They're breaking God's law.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, they may get lousy judges to stand up in this land, but one day they'll face the judge.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to know when they come in they're guilty. We ain't going to have a court session.
That's right.
Amen.
That's good preaching.
Great preaching.
Then he said, as it is written in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man be. He said, as I finally spoke to Noah and said, yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy. Now just think of this. Now God's saying this is what it's going to be like. Now I want you to say this, because he said, he goes, for destroy from all the face of the earth. You see, this is what, there's an end coming and everything's going to be destroyed. There's an end coming. We need to understand this. There's an end coming and everything's going to get destroyed.
Amen.
Well, see, isn't that exciting? See, isn't that make people want to jump chairs and stuff and think? Huh? Hallelujah. Well, that day ain't mine.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Face it. He said, so today I am speaking, giving America her last warning and call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. Do you really? I want you to think about this. Now, when we talk about the Lord is doing, he's long-suffering. Think about this. 1950, 76 years later, and America's still standing. God, we ought to be on our faces. Just,
that's
God,
right.
Thank you so much for not giving us what we have deserved, what we earned.
Amen.
You moved here. And your own people rejected it. Many have rejected this stuff. Many have rejected the move of God. Yet he's still kind to us. Now, what does he say to this? Well, start a seeker-friendly church as they did in the days of Noah. What did he say? Warn this generation, as did Noah his generation. For judgment is about to fall.
Amen.
And these things shall be fulfilled shortly, for I am coming soon, he said again. This is the last revival I am preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away even unto myself. Listen to this. Before the worst shall come. So there's going to be bad stuff. This whole idea, I've always thought of this because it always is. I remember back in the late 80s and the 90s and all these ministers and so-called prophets were, oh yeah, we're going to take over everything and we're going to give the kingdom to Jesus when he comes back. You can't give the guy the kingdom that owns it. It's his kingdom.
Amen.
We got in it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get... This way, oh yeah, the businesses and stuff are all going to come to the church and say, yeah, take over, run our business. They'd say that kind of stuff. I need the names, you know who they are. And they were saying all that. They never repented any of that stuff. And these were during the days I'm having visions about other things. And I'm thinking, where are these guys coming from? Why? They were filled with their own ideas and their own ideas. They had this fake idea. Well, if I can believe, have faith, and I can just change everything. They think they can change what God can't change. God never overrides the will of man. I don't care how much faith you think you got.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Preach.
That's right.
You will never be able to use your faith to override the will of another person.
Amen.
Because God don't. If I found God ever did that one time, I would talk to him and say, you got to override the will of everybody, then get everybody into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're not just or righteous. You're just a stinking liar like a devil.
Mm-hmm.
You don't keep your word. See, we get into fantasy land. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of the church has been in a fantasy land. And it just didn't start here in this time. The reason we're in this mess today is because people in the 90s, these ministers in the late 80s and 90s started getting into this mess. They started to become susceptible to this thing. And it just grew and got bigger. Then when things got real ugly, they're like, whoa, my America really changed. No, it didn't. The seed's just coming in. You planted way back yonder. The stuff's coming to pass. It didn't, never just happens. Seed is planted. False doctrine is planted. People buy it, eat the fruit thereof. And they eat that fruit, ain't no different than even a garden. Then they take that and they go to somebody else. You ought to eat this. This really tasted good. This doctrine really tastes good. Have a bite. I'd have... Ministers group alone. I mean, it was headed by Raymond and his pastor. Now, I know the guy, nice man and stuff. But the Lord said to me, if you stay close to them, you're not going to end up where we want to be. See, I was sitting and watching because I watched them moving off of doctrine, biblical doctrine, slowly moving off of it, taking stuff that people are bringing in. The most important thing is how you have a big church, not who you got in your big church and what's allowed in it. No, that had nothing to do. No, we have large numbers. I become important now, you know? It wasn't like, hey, what are we accepting?
That's right.
Because I will guarantee you, it happens every time. You go in that same place, you preach the truth, and the church always down in size. Why? Because a lot of people are in there.
Amen.
They're in there for the fruit of those messages that were preached. They'll say, well, God does things here. Yes, he does. God will try to reach in every place he can. Mm-hmm. That don't make you right.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Hallelujah. Jesus didn't tell you to follow a preacher. He said, follow me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's trustworthy. You can follow him.
Amen.
But we're warning this generation. Warned this generation, no, did his generation, judgment will fall. Says, and these things shall be fulfilled shortly, for I'm coming soon. He said, This is the last revival, and I'm preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away even unto myself before the worst shall come. But be faithful, watch and pray. Where the concluding marks was this, for the time of the end, for it's the time of the end, he said, of all things, is at hand. We need to know this. I want you to get a hold of that fact today, is the position and time that we're in. See, we've been in this great move of God. It has been one. Really, today, we've been living off of really the seed of that revival. The Lord told me concerning last days here, there's going to be a move of God like the Lord told me concerning this valley. He said there's going to be a move of God here. Now, if I go back, I've preached on that already and that stuff. I had just had encounter was one night, it was a Wednesday night, and I was sitting on a Wednesday night. It was after church. In fact, it was about 11 o'clock at night. I remember I was just sitting and I was studying some things out of the Bible from Sunday's message. Some things I was studying. And just out of the clear, the Lord told me where to turn to in the Bible. He said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen in this valley in the last day before I come. I mean, I didn't expect that. Let me say this to you. I want you to get this. I don't see, and these things don't happen to me because Ed's so spiritual. See, one of the biggest fakes that ministers do is leave people the impression that's because they're so spiritual, God moves through them. I'm just going to tell you this. God moves through me because he gifted me in a certain area, and he reveals things to me. And sometimes I think, well, isn't there somebody more spiritual to hand this to? I'm serious. I do. I think sometimes that I'm not exaggerating. I think, you know, these ministers sit around and all of a sudden gives people the public like, so he does this because I'm spiritual. It leaves people in a false place where they're trying to have what is in that gift. You can't. The reason things I have visions and things and stuff like that, it's because of my gift. It's not because Ed's so spiritual, so God does these things through me. I'll tell you this. I've run into some of the big-name ministers that I've had contact with. They're some of the most carnal guys. I was really surprised how carnal they were. And I know this. God uses them because of the gift, and it ain't at all because of them. But they think differently. It ain't how spiritual I am. It's the gift. There's one thing is I don't know how to open the gift. I'm willing to use the gift so God will manifest it through me, not because of my spirituality. I have to have spirituality just like everybody else does. I don't get healed because of my gift. I have to have faith just like everybody else. I don't get blessed financially different than anybody else. I have to use faith. Just like anybody else. None of it operates any different. Don't think you're going to... See, everybody, I want to become this, and I want to get there to that, and then God will do that. Nah, if you ain't gifted, it ain't. The operating gift, it's just the way God does. You know, from the time I got born again, manifestations of spirit, visions and stuff, they started happening through me. Now, to me, I just thought this stuff was pretty normal, but when I went along, I thought there was something odd about me because I thought everybody else ought to have it, and I found out, well, it's just me, it's a gift in me. But then I found out the other hand, I found there was ministers became jealous of the fact of what operated through me. And so, you know, they wanted to sort of push him to back. You know, we don't want this because they didn't realize it's a gift. All of theirs was a gift. It's just how God uses them. Don't ever treat your gift. Don't ever try to be something somebody else is from a gift standpoint. Don't ever do that. Your gift, like the Lord spoke to me concerning the areas of teaching and things. And he said, ministering the word. He said, your gift is good as anybody's. He said, nobody has a better gift than you do. See, it's a gift. Well, what he's doing is trying to see, you'll yield to your gift if you think it's good. And see, God, it's a gift from God. It must be good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. So it's a good gift. But I wasn't treating it like a good gift. I was treating it like I was inferior. Because some guy has a big crowd, he has a better gift. Well, I found out, no, they don't. Some people know how to get a crowd, and they'll say the things that get the crowd rather than the things God wants to say.
Amen. Preach.
It isn't about that. It's the gift. The things of visions and dreams and all that kind of stuff. The things that I've been given, 90% of the time, it's about me so I can minister to the body. So I can. It isn't about me.
Amen.
If it would be about me and it was for me, it was I developed this, probably most of it would come about me. It's not. It's about ministering to the body. And I want you to get a hold of that. This is why we put ministers on pedestals. They're just God's gift. That's all. And you take God's gift and that's, you just got to deal with a knucklehead like me. That's all it is. It's a gift. But see, this is one thing I loved about Brother Hagin. You know, he never pointed toward himself and think, always pointed you, go to the Word of God, God do this. And I realized, you know, he was gifted in a certain way. And I'm not gifted. You know, there's many things that I have that are from his gift. I got him. He laid his hands on me more than one time. He laid his hand on an empty head. Put something in it. Hallelujah. Thank God he had something to give. But the whole thing of it is, there's much of my gift is tied to his gift, which I, as a young Christian, I even found out myself that I could turn around and go to his meetings and I could tell where he was going and what he was going to do. I could tell. It was because that tie in the gift. It wasn't because I was so spiritual. See, some people sit there, you know, I get real spiritual, you know, and I know what's going to happen. No, it's just the gift. That's all it was. Is the gift in me could pick things up because of his gift. Well, see, I'm under his gift. I feel so sorry. So many Rhema people left and didn't get an anointing from his gift. They had other ideas and other plans. I thank God I got from his. This is why it's my direction and that I go. And he's in times. It's like with me, it's one thing is I stay, you know, I've been staying, Lord told me stay close concerning Randall Greer because of the direction he's going. I don't care where other people are going. I'm called to this. See, you got to find your road. You got to find your church. Loads of Christians are messed up because they sit in wrong churches. They have never listened to God. They went to what they called a good church. It might be good for other people, but it may not be the one for you.
Amen. Preach.
I know. See, God dealt with me very supernaturally concerning with me and my gift. Now, I was a young Christian, and when I first started off, the Lord wouldn't let Wanda and I go to church right first. See, everybody says, oh, you need to get to church right away. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this. I would have picked the wrong church. In fact, I got, you know, the Lord rebuked me for it. You know, they talked about this one church in town, they said was such a wonderful church, and everybody, oh, go to this church, go to this church. So one Sunday, I just got up and I said, Mom, we're going to go to church. We're going to go up here to that church. And we got us and the kids in the car. We drove up in the parking lot, and I hit that parking lot of that church, and the Lord said, if you go in here, you'll never fulfill my will for your life. I drove around the parking lot, turned around back out, and drove home. See, well, why did God deal with you supernatural like that? Because I was stupid. Maybe he didn't have to talk to you like that. Mm-hmm. See, he had to yell at me. I was dumb. I wasn't there in obedience. I'd already had it in me I wasn't supposed to go, but I just, you know, I want to go to church. Because everybody says, you need to go to church. So you need to go to church. Well, you need to go to the right church. Do you ever take time to find out where you belong? And this is what I found out. Where God put you. You know what God turned first church that God sent me to this area, put me in? If I would not have known the Holy Spirit, I would have never went. It was a mess. But God sent me there. Do you know what? Let me tell you this. You don't become strong and learn to walk strong being in a real wonderful place.
Amen.
Soldiers are not trained as good soldiers in the mess hall.
That's right. Amen.
God sent me where I was going to have to walk by faith. God sent me to a place, and you know what? I'll tell you what. First time I went to that church and I met the people in there, I thought, dear God, if the Lord wouldn't have spoken to me supernaturally, and he did, he spoke to me. The reason he spoke to me supernaturally is because I was going to put up with some hard stuff. And over time, it proved itself out. It was hard. Now, I got a lot of good things there too, but I'm going to tell you what, on the long run. See, you need to understand this thing. God puts you in situations, maybe even places of work, where you're supposed to develop and grow. He'll always put you in the best place. He'll put you in a place where it's difficult for you. Why? Because you need to grow in character. You need to be a good, not be a character, a good character. See, there's a lot, we got a lot of characters in this world. You run into a few every now and then. And people say, boy, he's a character. Yeah, isn't it? No, I'm talking about developing good character. You got to learn to develop this character. Good or bad, you change not. You're still the same person. I'm going to tell you what, that's you, just like me. I found out a lot of things I didn't like about myself. You ain't you don't understand what's going on with you till you understand your problems. And I found out there was a lot of things I didn't like about myself. Because I didn't like about myself in hard times, how I responded to hard times. See, we're in today and people are complaining the oil price is going up. Little bit of squeeze. Oil price. I'm going to have to pay more for gas. They pinched me. You know, we quit taking everything from China free. Prices are going up. We're all going to start. Yeah, it's hard today. Hard? You don't know what hard is.
Amen.
I have no clue what hard is. We'll knock this stuff off. The squeeze is on, and I'm going to tell you what. They squeeze me. Mashed potatoes don't come out.
Amen.
You're getting squeezed and you're complaining, joining the crowd. I mean, they sit there with their bellies full and everything else complaining how bad things are. Taking all kind of stuff from the government. My God, it's got so bad we might have to go to work. Who knows how terrible it is? But see, we need to come this thing. And we're dealing with people all the time. We need the people in the squeeze. We change not.
Amen.
I don't hold discussion with people about what they call all the problems going on. I don't hold discussions with that. All the problems going on is, hallelujah, I'm doing great.
Amen.
I don't care if it don't look like I have a dollar in my wallet. I will not say anything. I'm doing great. I'm
Amen.
God's child. I'm walking by faith. He will take care of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Like Randall Greer says, he said, if gravy becomes $10 a sop, he said, I'll have as many sops as I want. You got to become that. If you're not that, if you're over there, well, I went to the grocery store. Every time I go to the grocery store. See, I'm the shopper. I'm the shopper. I go because I do the cooking. I'm the shopper, and I go, and every time prices are up. Yeah, I walk in, prices are up. Either they have the same price and less in the bag, but the prices are going up. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But you know what? I thank God I got money.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got money. Hallelujah. I ain't missing a meal unless I want to.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I ain't complaining. When we have money, and we're still complaining because we're afraid our money's going to go away. That's called fear and not faith. And don't complain to have faith when you're afraid. You're going, well, maybe we won't have enough. You know what bothers me? I think I'm scared to death and I'm going to have more than enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to have so much, I'll tell you, I will take it. Oh, my God. See, God wants to, I'm going to tell you what, mark my word on this. These are the days of blessing. These
Amen.
Are the days of the outpouring of the blessing of God. If you don't see it, you don't know God. Not like you think you should. These are the days you really get ahead. These are the days in times of trouble and you planting.
Amen.
When they say prices are going up, I'll tell you, prices are going up and I'm planting more.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll tell you, it's just like, just plant. Last year, we just planted and planted and planted and planted a bunch.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why, God's good. See, I have a lot. See, your bank account says, oh, you have millions. No. Hallelujah. I have it coming in.
Amen.
It's coming to you, and it will come to me.
Amen.
But you know what? I'm giving like I'm a millionaire.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm giving like I got a lot.
Amen.
Why? Because I believe I do.
Amen.
I ain't waiting to get a lot to act like I have a lot.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're waiting for that, when it comes, you'll keep it. Because you'll be afraid. You might not have enough. You got to hold on to this. You know, we got to keep it. We got to hold on to as much as we can because you never know what's going to happen. Well, and that kind of talk, don't be surprised what happens. Hallelujah. Praise God. God has called me and you to go over, not under.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're singing this morning about soaring like an eagle. These are the days you want to soar like an eagle.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I just want to, you know, the Lord brought up to me concerning Donald Trump. And he brought this up to me. And I want you to get this thing about it. One of our problems is, I want to tell you about the mercy of God. See, back in Donald Trump's first time that he ran, the Lord said this. He had spoke to Randall Greer the same thing. And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, I gave Donald Trump as a reprieve to the nation. A reprieve. See, we think that, well, because political people got, you know, changed. No, God, that was a move of God. That was called God's mercy and grace. God had mercy on America. Well, that time, well, we turn around, we got Joe Biden, and we found out when the wrong people get in and follow the devil what it turns out to be. But the devil rules and reigns. And the Lord spoke to me again. He said, I gave Donald Trump as a reprieve. Now, you know what a reprieve is? A reprieve is this. Somebody's committed a crime of some sort and they've been sentenced. A reprieve does not remove the sentence. It just stays the sentence for a time. I'm just going to tell you this. The judgment on America is set. We're right now in a time of reprieve. The judgment ain't going to change. We may delay judgment, but the judgment will come. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to see it. One of the things we're going to see it at, because even today, people call themselves Christians, turn, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, good Christian, and everything. They're turning against Trump. As soon as they see some problem, prices go up. Oh, gas prices and all this and all that. He's not turning around. And Christians are turning around talking their junk. I'm going to tell you what. You're speaking against God's reprieve. I don't care if you like Donald Trump or not. You better talk to God about that. He placed him. He raises up kings and he takes them down. Donald Trump, he set in and he's measuring this nation and the church against what they're doing about things going on. Say, well, he isn't doing things I like. Well, go complain to God about that. See what he says to you. He might tell you to shut up and go home. We're being judged by these things of how we respond. And if we don't respond right, I'm just going to tell you, when his time's over, it's knocking on the door. And this nation's going to see things they wish they would never see. I'm just telling you. It isn't a matter whether he's doing it. Is it God? I'm going to tell you what. You have no right to complain if you gripe and moan about Biden. This is heaven to people that are decent. If you thought somebody's going to come in and just no wars, we're all going to tiptoe through the tulips and play ukuleles and, you know, be flower children and do stuff, you know. We were going to do that. I don't know what land you were living in, but you never read my Bible. The Bible never gives anybody a thought of the end time being like that. The end times ain't a pretty day. But the end time is built for strong people, and we can be that.
Amen.
We can be that people. Why? Because of God. God has designed that we be that people.
Amen.
That's our destiny if we'll take it.
Amen.
Now, we're going to get talking specific about divine destiny. About hooking up with whether God wants or setting our own destiny, which we can. We'll be looking in the Bible these things. But let's get ourselves in a thought in this area and that stuff. What we're doing at this time. This is really important because we're not going to stop. There's things coming. In fact, I just heard Randall Greer make, you know, a thing about things coming on. Things are going to come. Things are on the doorway to happen. And I just saw a thing, and they said, I read the article about it. They said, oh, but what a surprise it was that this happened. And I thought, yeah, nobody expected this kind of a thing to start in that area. But people will put it aside. But I'm going to tell you what, it's going to come roaring in. I saw it. I had a vision about it, and I saw it. And it's going to come a roaring in. And it's what we're going to do. Are we prepared? As we are as a nation right now, people are very weak. They're very weak of citizens. They're very weak. They can't stand for nothing. Anything that goes wrong, people fall apart. They don't know what it is to stand under trouble. People today have been taken care of so much, they can't take care of themselves. We've regenerations. It just didn't start this younger generation today. It's been going on. I watched it from in the 90s. Children becoming, they can't take care of themselves anymore. Parents raising kids that can't take care of themselves because they just take care of everything for the kids. I thank God, you ask my daughters, do we take care of everything? But you know what? They can take care of themselves. They're tough. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, Alyssa, she can take care of herself and take care of others too. She's smart. She knows what to do about things. She don't sit around and wait for somebody to do something. She's in it doing it. And she'll get it done. How'd she get that? Wasn't because we were rocket scientists, but we let things work out. They had to do things. If they were going to arrive at a place, you don't just always take them there.
Amen.
You know, you don't have to have a brain in your head today to go to college. Just play a sport good. They'll take you knuckleheads in and they'll take them in and wonder why nobody knows nothing. Because anybody, their genius is a sport. They are nothing. They don't help humanity at all. They do nothing for humanity. They do no but everything's to bless themselves.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Well, we need more sports in our school. It raises up good citizens. Well, introduce me to one of them. I want to meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our pro sports. You talk about scoundrels and rests and
come on.
All kind of ugly. If it's ugly, they're doing it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will raise up geniuses among us.
Amen.
I'll tell you, I want people who went to the school of heaven. I want people
Amen.
That sit under God's wisdom, hallelujah, that are wise. I'm interested in people that can do things, not know things.
Amen. Preach.
If you can't do nothing, sit down, shut up, and let somebody that can do something do something.
Amen.
It isn't about my great knowledge. I'll tell you, I'm serious. Should I tell you the gift? It's going along, but the gift. I come up here this morning, and I know this, and if you talk to the Lord, I said to him, I don't know where this thing's going. But see, that's the way the gift works in me. I'll get things, and there's some times like this week, when the Lord talked to me about this, I thought, well, I gave up this thing, and I thought, where is this thing going? Because in my mind, I think I could take this a number of different ways. But see, I come up, and you know what happens? The anointing comes. And all of a sudden, I just know. Well, it can't be by great wisdom, or I'd have had it. I didn't ever say, I know what I'm going to do. I could have done what I thought to do. Mm-hmm. But I get up here, and you know what? The gift.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not my genius. Mm-hmm. It's not all of a sudden I know. They say, well, here's me. How can you just get up and talk all those things? It wouldn't be the anointing. I'd probably be up here trying to dig things up. Things come to my memory many times while I'm teaching, preaching. I have not thought of in years. And all of a sudden, bang, it comes up just like yesterday.
Amen.
It's like, oh. It's a gift. See, we need to spend more time glorifying God, what He's doing in us, than trying to be somebody.
Amen.
You know what I want to be? A good donkey.
Amen.
I want to be a good donkey.
Amen.
In the Bible, they called them asses. And we got a lot of dumb ones. Oh, yeah. And I mean, they're dumb ones. But I'm going to tell you what, there was a smart donkey that let God speak to him.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing, is understanding that. God is the gift giver. God manifests the gift.
Amen.
I mean, you ask my wife. I mean, at home, I'm just it. You know? Let's see. Everybody thinks I'm not this all the time. You know, it's like Brother Hagin said, if the teaching or preaching anointing stayed on you, you just wouldn't quit. You just go and go, 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 go. You know? See, if the guy's the same way from the standpoint out of the pulpit as in, he's probably just teaching out of his own head. Oh, yeah. Brother Hagin is anointing in there, but he wasn't just saying just out doing things. He'd be sitting down watching. He liked baseball, watched a baseball game and that stuff and doing things. But Brother Hagin was, he was, when the anointing was on him, Brother Hagin was a different man. That anointing turned him, he turned him to really a divine entity that God could speak through. Because what he did is he learned his spirituality to allow God to use him. That's what you want to create. You want to become the thing. This is why you have to be, see, John the Baptist understood, less of me and more of him. See, let him take him out and cut your head off sometime. It'd do you good. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, your gift of God, you might see. One thing is I learned about me is the fact when I started off as a young Christian, I really didn't have a lot of anybody around me to talk to me about things of gift. Because, see, at first, it was like I said, I went through a thing. It was really a hard time for me because, see, I had gifts working in me. And my gifts, because it's a ministry gifts, they're operating different than the average person does. And I'm thinking at first, what's the matter with all these people? Don't they know all this? Do you know these things? See, I'd see and know things, and I'd think, shouldn't people know them? Well, see, I didn't understand about the gift. Well, I got to the point to think, I was an oddball. What's wrong with me? And I used to say, God, what's wrong with me? Do I really get this revelation? What's going on? Is there something weird? Because I found other people weren't like me. And it took me a little bit of growing to finally come to the place where I realized, this is just my, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with me. This is just what works in me. And this is why I work. I do this and I walk in this is because of what's in me. My gifting. And see, I don't expect others to walk in it. There's things that I turn around. Look, there needs to be a difference and a change in our nation concerning prophets. Because they're taking too much of the demand of the people, of what the people want. Don't matter what the people want. Don't wonder what the people want to have. Or people want to hear.
Amen.
We need to speak according to the Spirit of God. Our big thing is this. God wants people to grow up. He wants you, Mary, to meet Jesus.
Amen.
That's number one in his agenda. Not you being like everybody. It ain't on his agenda.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in a nation of many people hate Christianity. They hate it. They hate what it stands for and what it does. Why? Because it draws a line in the dirt between good and evil. And many people love evil, and even in the church have jumped over to this side of the other line because they love evil. They love the things of the flesh.
Yep.
The Bible uses the term sometimes the flesh, it uses members, but it's talking about your members, your body, your flesh. Sin starts in the flesh. That's where it comes from. Eve got tempted in the flesh, and then sinned in the spirit. The devil always will tempt you for your flesh. That's how he gets you to do things. He'll tempt your flesh. The desires and the lusts of the flesh. Always get you hooked over into that. Get you hooked over. Get your flesh. What I like, you know, I want people to like me. I want people, you know. You say, why do you, if you want to minister to people, why? See, what's your motive?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to help people? Or do you want to be seen?
Mm-hmm.
See, I want to be in front. I don't. You take me naturally, I'll take a seat. I want to be in front. Why? Because you know what? Just from your own step, all the people will love you, but I'm going to tell you there's more people with rocks. Look at our nation around you. Look at the news. Nobody makes it the front without a whole bunch of people throwing rocks. And I'm going to tell you, in our news media and everything, in our nation, we are rock throwers, man. I'm going to tell you, the people are rock throwers. We thought the Jews did a lot of that, you know, stoning people. Oh, no, us Americans, we know how to stone them. We do it with our mouths. We're rock throwers. See, it can't be about me. If I get up and they throw rocks, you know what I have? You know, just look to heaven.
Amen.
Just do what Stephen is. He looked up. He saw Jesus. I liked it. It said he was standing by the throne. He wasn't sitting down. He jumped up cheering. That's my boy down there. Hallelujah. He preached the right sermon, made a man, they killed him, just like me. Woo! Him and I got something in common. Bring him out here. I want to talk to him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I need him around me.
Amen.
Stephen definitely wasn't starting a seeker-friendly church. The seeker-friendly never preach a sermon like that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We preach the truth. God will take care of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you this morning. These are your folks. You bought them and paid for them. You did. Lord, this is your work. These people are in your field. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, your intents and purposes toward them are without no shadow of turning. You have nothing but good plans. That's what you plan. Hallelujah. And Lord God, your great desires, they jump into your plan. Hallelujah. Because it's filled with goodness. Oh, hallelujah. The blessings of heaven. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to say thank you. Lord, I'm so glad today that we have you to trust. I am so thankful that you're not like men. You don't have even an iota of change. That we can trust you and be so confident in you and your doings. Lord God, Lord, that no matter what we face or what we go through, that we never have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. Hallelujah. That you're going to take care of us. Lord God, there's much knocking at the door of this nation, and there's much this nation has accepted and walked in, and there's all kind of things going on. Lord God, Lord, it's sort of like the movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And sometimes the bad and the ugly seem to be look like they're winning. But Lord God, your goodness and mercy and kindness, they endure forever. And Lord God, we today, we can count on that. The Lord God, the things come upon this nation. You're not bringing it upon because you're people, but you need, Lord, there's people out here on their way to hell. You're trying to shake things up, Lord God, to get them awakening. Lord, there's so many in this nation, they will not respond to good. They only respond to evil. Lord, yes, I see you're doing that. Yeah, I see that. Yes. I'm going to say this. The Spirit of God just showed me this stuff. When I started to pray about this nation and the evil going on, the Spirit of the Lord just showed me this. He said he was going to rip them out of the hands of the church. Because he said the church and even our government keeps trying to take care of people. And God wants them to come to the place where they need him more than they need you. Or they'll change from their wicked ways. And he said he's going to rip them out of our hands so he can bring circumstances where they're going to have to face and make a decision. We're in a decision time. They're going to come to a place of decision where they're going to have to go to God or they'll just turn and go the way that they are. But they're going to know there ain't no other way. But let me just say this. He said to me, he said, there'll be many that'll come. If they're left to themselves, they'll come. If they can't rely on everybody else to bail them out, they'll come to God. They're going to come. But he said he's going to rip their hand out of the church's hand. We try to take care and take care and take care. Lord, forgive us for not letting you work. Lord, that things have to go to this extreme for us. Forgive us. Forgive the church. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, you're not allowing this stuff to come on the earth because you hate people. You love people. And you're drawing people. But many are rejecting and rejecting and rejecting and rejecting. And Lord God, you're going to give them the fruit of their way which they're not going to like. When they see it, they're not going to like it. And Lord God, yeah, I see that. Many will return. Many will turn around and say, yes, yes. Hallelujah. We're going to walk with God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we just want to be those good vessels that you can use. Hallelujah. We want to be those ones, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we want to be like you. When people come, hallelujah, we're quick to forgive. We're quick to have mercy. We're quick to open our hearts to them. Hallelujah. Lord God, when they come, when they call on the name, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to be good earthly parents to them. Hallelujah. And bless them, Lord God. And help them along the way so they can walk in your blessing and not ours, but in theirs, hallelujah, that you bestow upon them, hallelujah, and they'll know it's come from you. Hallelujah. I just thank you for it. Lord, these days and times, they're just so much shaken. The wisdom of men, and Lord God, Lord, I know there's much in our sight and things that we need to change. Hallelujah. But I thank you. You've been very patient and kind with us, Lord. Thank you for being so patient and kind with us over time. And Lord God, we set ourselves to gain wisdom, to know. Lord God, if we've missed it, Lord, we're not trying to miss it. Lord, we realize our own fallibilities and things. But we want to thank you. You're greater than all our weaknesses. You're greater than all of our inabilities. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, that in this time and in this age, Lord, we're working towards you, and you're going to give greater grace. Amen. You're going to give greater grace in this time for us to stand in. Hallelujah. Because we've stood where we are supposed to stand. Hallelujah. You're going to go exceedingly abundantly above and beyond what we imagine or think. Hallelujah. Great grace. Great grace. Great grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, to walk in these places, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the opening of the doors to light shining through in areas of the nation. Lord God, that you showed me in many years past, I thank you that light is coming to these areas. Great light is shining because the word is going forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Light shining. Hallelujah. Lord God, and Lord, my heart goes out to the places of darkness. Oh, the people that are turned away. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I see that. They're making their own decisions, yes. Oh, but Lord God, oh, the darkness they're stepping into, they don't really understand or know. Oh, Lord God. Lord, there's going to be great, great, great regret. And for many, Lord, I can see it's not going to change or turn. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Again, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. Spend your time and walk with those who come to the light and the ones the Lord sends you to. For it is hard to look at those ones that have gone out into darkness. But you won't turn them. There's ones who have gone on and they're on their way, and the Lord will show you the ones that can be reached and ones that can't. Oh, that it might grieve you, but what does it grieve the Lord? But, spend your time with the light as the Lord spoke to Samuel and told him, quit grieving over Saul. Quit grieving over what cannot be reached nor changed. Reach forth with your hand in this day and in this time for what God has graced you with. Rejoice in the glory that is upon you and the blessing that can bring to the ones that can be reached. Rejoice in those things. Don't let what seems been in darkness, don't let those things bring grief to you or harm to you and rob you of your joy and the blessing that you can bring to others. Amen. Don't allow it. But walk forth. Walk forth in the light. The light of life. And it will draw. That light in life is what draws. Hallelujah. And it will be a blessing to many. It's going to be a blessing to many. That light in life is going to be a blessing to many. Hallelujah. 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 For many will go their way. For many will follow their path. Ah, but then there's many will come to walk in the light of life that will come in these days and in these times. Yes, and there'll be great rejoicing. And the time draws near for the Lord's coming. And it will not be a hidden thing. It will not be a people who don't know and just get caught away. Ha ha. No. I told my people to get ready. And the reason I told them to get ready because they will know the time. Hallelujah. Just as when you're going to leave your home, you know it. And you go and you put your coat on and you go outside. So shall it be in these last days. You will rise up and the church will put their cloaks on. They will put on their garments. They will put on their things. And the church will come out and ready for their master. Hallelujah. Because they will be leaving. Hallelujah. And not prepared for return, but for leaving. Hallelujah. And they will be gone. Hallelujah. I know, says the Lord, and I have prepared for that day. And that day has been set aside for my people. And my people shall be ready. Hallelujah. They will be dressed in the garments of glory. And I shall receive them. Hallelujah. And in the middle of trouble, in the middle of problems, there shall be great rejoicing in the church. Because, hallelujah, that day has come.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you in your kindness to speak to us. Thank you in your kindness, Lord, to do these things and reveal these things. And Lord God, we give you the glory and praise. It is not in men's doing. It's in your wonderful glory and your wonderful. You're just so marvelous. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so kind to use vessels, Lord God, that are not from physical standpoint. And we're not perfect. But yet, in our state, even though we're born again and hallelujah, have your nature, you still in your kindness, you use us, even with our development and growing. And boy, it seems to me that I need to grow a whole lot more.
Amen.
But in your kindness, you work and you use us. And I just say thank you. It's just wonderful being able to work with such a wonderful boss. You're so wonderful to work for. Hallelujah. And I just want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, thank you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.